2 Corinthians chapter 4. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's important, isn't it? That this time that we have together should not be about us, but about God, about the Savior. When we're sharing the gospel, when we're out there in the world, we're not trying to attract people to us. We're trying to attract them to the gospel. We're trying to draw them to God, trying to lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We preach not ourselves. This is not about me, and it's not about you. The message is Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. And He should be central in all that we do. What would Jesus do? Remember that from, 30 years ago, I guess. What would Jesus do? What is God's plan? What does He want for our day? What does He want for our lives? You're making a big decision. Of course, it wouldn't hurt to include them in the small decisions, but we're making decisions about our lives, especially those pivotal points. We go to Him and say, God, what do You want? Lead me in this. And sometimes we pray and God doesn't give us a clear answer. And when God doesn't give us a clear answer, the best answer is wait. Don't make a decision. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done this in your life, but I prayed that God would open the door. And He didn't, and I kicked it in. And found regret and heartache and heartburn and everything. It's don't kick the doors down. We pray, God, open the door, and if He doesn't open it, move on. But so many times, we take it into our own hands. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. So the church, we have to get the mindset that we are servants to one another. I'm here to serve you. We're here to serve each other. We're not here to be lords and kings, but servants. Anybody have the mindset that they want to be servants anymore? I look around, I don't see a lot of servants in our world. I don't see people that want to help people. Most people want, they don't mind doing something, they want to get paid. I mean, even the little ones come up and they want money, right? I say, go make your bed. How much am I going to get paid? You're not going to get paid anything, kid. Go away. Right, go make your bed. Go fold your clothes. Am I going to get paid? No. Well, what can I do to get paid? I don't know. Nothing around here because you live here. The yard needs to be raked. It's your yard right now. Go rake it. From the little point, guys, even the little point, we've got to get the mindset of serving, not of, I'll do it if there's a benefit. One of the things I tried to teach my older boys and now carrying down to the younger ones was, whenever we do something for somebody, we don't charge. Now, if they want to give a tip, that's fine. We don't reject money. We don't push money away, but we don't charge. Well, how much is it? Well, I'm happy to do it for free. If they come and give you a $10 bill, you don't argue with them. You just take the $10 bill. But don't charge people to do something if it's in your ability to do it. Now, of course, if that's your business, that's different. And if it's your business, then, of course, you got to get paid. But I've always, in service, just doing the chores, we don't charge. We're supposed to serve the widows of the church. We're supposed to serve the ones who are not able to do it. We're supposed to serve the ones who have a season or a moment of need. If there's an opportunity that we have to meet that need, we ought to meet it. That's all. We're servants. We work for each other in the church. We're supposed to help each other in the church, but not just each other. We're also servants to God. Ultimately, we answer to Him. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll stand before God. When we stand before God, every time in the parables that Jesus gives us, who is standing before their master? Isn't it always the servant? The servant. The servant. Well, that's who we are. We're supposed to be serving. We're supposed to be helping. We're supposed to be ministering. So we serve each other and we serve the Lord and we serve the gospel. Isn't it an incredible opportunity that we have to share the gospel? How do you get to heaven? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, verse 10. We get saved, we go to heaven by our faith in Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning and you don't know that you're going to heaven, then right now, from your heart to God's heart, you could pray and say, God, I put my faith in You. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to You. Would you do that now? Put your trust in Him now. How are you going to get to heaven? Well, you got to die. Little kid says in Sunday school, you got to die. But when you die, you're not necessarily going to heaven unless you put your faith in Christ. And then you are surely going to heaven. We got to put our faith in Him. We're servants to the gospel. What a privilege to be able to tell people they can know about the hereafter. So many people don't know what happens after we die. People don't want to talk about it. And the ones that do want to talk about it, they want to talk about, you know, coming back as spirits and ghosts and haunting houses and such as that, and being able to talk to, you know, I don't know, I was going to name a name, I'm afraid to get somebody's family, but Aunt Judy, you know, I want to talk to Aunt Judy on the other side. And I saw it the other day. They were trying to find, and it wasn't supposed to be about connecting with the dead. But on another show, they brought in one of these people, and they were trying to connect with the dead. And they said, well, if it is, move it sideways. You know? Okay. Guys, that's not how you know about the hereafter. You want to know about the hereafter? Put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you may know that you are saved. We can have confidence. Look at verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Remember, let's go all the way back. I know it's hard. Can you imagine looking out and looking over and there's nothing? Nothing. No stars, no planets, no meteors, no shuttles, no satellites, no Earth, no Jupiter and Venus, no moon, no sun, no nothing. Just a blank, black darkness of space. And God said, let there be light. There was light. Isn't that something? There was light. He began to go to work on all this stuff. Formed the earth, formed the planets and the stars and the sun and grass and trees and all that kind of stuff. And then later on shifts the tectonic plates around and makes mountains and volcanoes. And isn't it incredible what God has done? When God said, let there be light, look at what it says in verse 6. He commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. There was no light. And He just made light. But then what did He do? And how much of an impact was that? To just have light. Man, it changed everything, didn't it? You ever walk through your house at night without lights? And you say, oh, it's okay, I know where everything is. People move stuff in my house every day. Not necessarily furniture, but boxes and toys. And, you know, if I don't have a light, I'm going to trip over something. And so light changes things, doesn't it? Light gives us the ability to know where we are going. And so what does it say that He did? He brought that light into our hearts. He shined in our hearts the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So let's go back to before you were born again, before you knew Christ as your Savior. What was there? Was there even anything there? You say, well, of course there was there. I was alive. I was living. Yeah, but on a spiritual sense. On a spiritual side, on a God side, was there anything? Did you have any awareness of God? And I can remember as a little kid, we all had this concept of God. Sometimes it's fun to listen to little children talk about God because their ideas are crazy, but, you know, it's kid stuff. I like to just listen to them, not really correct them every time. Let them just kind of talk and work it through. And I can remember doing that as a kid and talking to my 6 and 7 year old friends about God with what I knew at that time. But God has caused that light to shine in our hearts. What light? The light of knowledge. The light of understanding. The light of revelation. Now, I'll tell you this. If you expect to learn everything by revelation, you're not going to. God may give us revelation. God may give us insight that nobody's taught us and nobody we've not read it anywhere. But God just gives us the understanding, you know, heavenly, miraculously, by revelation. But if we want to grow in God, we have got to spend some time studying what He's already given us. We have got to stay in His Word. We need to read the Bible. Oh, I got a great text this week. And let me see if I can find it real quick and read it to you. I know y'all are in a hurry. It says, "Good morning, preacher. I know you're busy, so I'll be quick. I've been doing Bible study on my own. Started from Genesis. Actual study, not just reading. It's amazing the things I've learned, even after a lifetime of going to church. Study makes such a difference." Isn't that incredible? Boy, I tell you, if we just read our Bible, we'll grow, we'll learn, we'll discover things. And you know, I've been a pastor for almost 31 years. You know, I still dig treasure up in the Bible from time to time. I'll be reading and see something I didn't see before. Something just climbs off the page and keeps it exciting. Read your Bible. Somebody sent me another text this week and said, "Pastor, can you get me such and such version of the Bible? Let me be clear with you about this. I won't give you fake gold, fake diamonds, or fake Bibles. If I'm going to get you a Bible, I'm going to get you a King James Bible." You say, "Well, Pastor, I just have trouble understanding it." Well, then read it deeper. I really and truly believe this. And listen to me. Don't shut me off just because you don't like the King James. Listen, I really believe that when it takes a little bit more to comprehend it, we invest a little bit more to comprehend it. Jesus talked about two men. The one man built his house on the sand. He didn't dig a footer. He didn't dig down to the rock. But the other one did what? He dug deep. Until he got onto a solid foundation and he built from a solid foundation. I'm telling you, don't just skim over your Bible. Read it, study it, dig into it. Dig into it and find the Word of God and find the truth of God and never read without the author next to you. Make sure you pray when you study and God will bring things to our hearts and minds we didn't know was there. And so that light has shined in our hearts, an understanding of God. Well, I tell you, we look at the Old Testament, it says Adam and Eve sinned. Then it says, and God gave them skins to cover them, right? Isn't that what it says, skins? But you know, how many of us knew right away where those skins came from? Did we even think about it? Until later we learned about the sacrifices? Until later we learned about the blood that was shed? And then we understood that those skins that he provided in the garden had to come from the sacrifice of an animal. That they, in order to cover their sins, had to take the life of a sacrificial lamb or a bullock or something of that sort. And so we understood then that even from the Garden of Eden, there was a covering for sin. All the way up until the time that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave so that our sins are no longer hidden, no longer covered, but washed away. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Look at this next part. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't it great? I'm not going to show up to heaven with a single sin on my shoulders. I'm not going to show up to heaven with baggage behind me. How many of you can think back on some bad sins you've done in your life? Right? You think, and for some of us, it may be different measures that we put on it, but we could think of some bad things we've done. And we said, boy, I wish I'd never done that. I'm so glad I don't have to drag that up to God's throne on judgment day. I'm so glad that God doesn't have that in a book somewhere to bring up at a later time. We'll remember when. But let me tell you who does. Old Slewfoot, the devil, he's got all of our bad stuff written in a book. And every once in a while, you know what he'll do? He'll look at you and he'll go, now, John, remember you did that? You really don't think you can serve God, do you? Right? Isn't that what he does? He'll say, Michael, now you be careful how far you go with this Christian. I remember you did this. You see, that's what he, by the way, I don't know what it is, but he knows. The devil's keeping a record of all of our sins. But you know what? In God's book, they are washed away. God's book is forgiven. I stand here before you today sinless in the eyes of God. My sins are forgiven. My knowledge has been opened. He has pierced through the darkness of my heart with His Word. How did He create the light in the beginning? With His Word. How does He create the light in us? It, by His Word. Verse number 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Look, we're earthen vessels. We're flawed. We're imperfect. We're even inclined to sin. The good in us and the good we do is not our power, but God's power in us. I don't know if you've ever been hurt by somebody and had to forgive them. But I could tell you, sometimes, but for the power and the grace of God, I wouldn't forgive people for what they did to me. I'd hold a grudge. I'd probably even be vengeful and go after them and get my revenge back and hurt them like they hurt me. Because that's natural. But by the grace of God, I forgive. By the grace of God, not only do I forgive, but you know, eventually I even forget. I don't even remember it. I don't even remember that it happened. And it's just gone. Instead of holding a grudge and always thinking, how can I get even with them? That the excellency of the power is not of us, but of God. We can do great things, but not in our flesh, not by our flesh, by God's grace, by God's power. And He put His grace, and He put His Holy Spirit, and He put the knowledge of the Word of God in earthen vessels. Paul said, Lord, remove this thorn of flesh from me. And God said, Paul, I'm not taking it away, because my grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, man, if I can do great things through you, it's like the old preacher said, I heard Billy Sunday preach and I thought I could never be a good preacher like that. And I heard Lee Robertson preach and thought, boy, I could never be as eloquent and compassionate as that. So then I heard Derek preach and I said, well, if he could do it, anybody could do it. Earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. We're just men. We're just ladies, just sons and daughters of God. It's not by us, it's by God. And then he goes to verse 8. He says this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. To be honest with you, sometimes the pastoring part of this role is too much. In fact, I would say that it sometimes makes me question whether I can even preach because of the burdens that we have, the pastoring part. We are distressed on every side. No, we are what? Troubled on every side, but not distressed. We can't let that wash us out. You hear what I'm saying? We have to continue. We have to do God's work. We have to be faithful to the calling. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Even perplexed, but not in despair. You know, there's some things we don't understand. I don't understand why some things happen. But that doesn't cause me to give up, to be in despair. Even persecuted, verse 9. Even persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We have some hard times sometimes. We're surrounded by trouble and opposition. Yet we have the knowledge of eternal hope in Christ. You know, it goes back to that old saying, this too shall pass. If it's a great day, just remember, it's not going to last. If it's a terrible day, just remember, it's not going to last. Whether it's one side or the other, it's going to balance out down the road. We're going to have troubles in this life. That doesn't make God any less God or Jesus any less the Savior. The Bible any less true. The Holy Spirit any less present. We're going to have troubles. The world is watching us to see what we do with our troubles. The world is watching us to see if we throw in the towel and we quit. The world is watching us to see if we curse God and die. And we're here to stand as a testimony that God is real and true and faithful even in the hard times. And we're not going to give up on our faith just because times are tough. We're not going to give up on the church just because they couldn't fix it. I tell you, I wish I could fix it. I wish I had the ability to give everybody the strength that they used to enjoy at the height of their lives. The health, the best health they've ever had. But you know, at some point, we all want to get out of this life and get into heaven, don't we? We just don't want it to be right now today. Yeah, we have troubles and hard times. But you know, as a church, the biggest thing to me is if we can give to them the hope and the love and the forgiveness. The love right now, I know God loves me right now. The forgiveness, I know God has forgiven everything I've ever done wrong. And God gives me the hope. Not only the hope of heaven, but the hope of today. That things will get better. It's going to be okay. I have hope and confidence in God. Verse 16 says this, for which cause we faint not, though our man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Yep, it's sometimes hard, isn't it? Sometimes we break, but he says we faint not. We don't quit just because it got hard. As parents, we don't quit just because the kids are having a bad day and making us have a bad day. As husbands and wives, we don't quit just because it's a bad day. People will walk away from God because God didn't make everything perfect. Let me paint you a picture here. It's not a perfect picture. There's going to be trouble in our lives along the way. Our inward man is renewed day by day by prayer, by inspiration, by daily Bible study, by having encouragers in our lives, and finally, by being grateful, by having gratitude. Do you have gratitude in your life? Are you thankful? Verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God is watching. Our response to adversity is noted in heaven and can have an impact on others, whether they trust in our God. Is that true? They say, how is it that you can maintain your composure at a time like this? How is it you can remain calm at a time like this? How is it you can forgive somebody after they hurt you that way? How is it you can still be hopeful with all that's going on? That's my Jesus, that's how. Because my sins are washed away and I'm going to heaven and I know God loves me today. I know my Redeemer liveth. Verse 18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. You know, we talk about the future. We talk about temporary and permanent. We must, at some point, wake up to the realization there are some things that matter today to us that don't matter to God at all. And if they don't matter to God, why should they matter to us? We get on His plan, see what matters to Him. The things which are seen are temporal. Stuff will be gone. We're so concerned and so caught up on things that aren't going to matter in eternity. I'm not saying never care about the stuff that's around us that's temporary, but I'm saying we ought to at least care about some things that are eternal. And that includes the souls of our friends and family and neighbors and co-workers. And we need to show them the way of salvation. Would you stand this morning? God, we love You. We pray You'll take this time and use it to Your purpose. The only question anyone should be asking right now is what You would have us to do. Guide us in this moment, each of us, for the decisions we make now to carry us the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open. If you want to kneel and pray, if you'd like to walk the aisle, I'll pray with you. But you can pray where you are, from your heart to God. Talk to Him. Won't you talk to Almighty God today? God, who caused the light to shine in the darkness, has caused the light of knowledge to shine in our hearts, piercing through the darkness of a lack of knowledge of God, showing us the heart of God through Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here this morning, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure I believe all of that. But you know you're a sinner. You know you're flawed. You know you failed. And I assure you, Jesus died for you too. God loves you. He wants you to have the peace that passes all understanding. He wants you to have the grace of all your flaws, all your sin, forgiven, washed away. Would you trust Him this morning? Appreciate you being here this morning. Anything else before we're dismissed? All right. Glad you came. Good to have visitors with us. We're glad you're here. Those of you who've returned and those who are here for the first time, come back again, okay? Anything else? Tonight, 6 o'clock, don't forget, Brother Rudy Holland will be with us tonight. Looking forward to him. And also, of course, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Let's go to the Lord and dismiss with prayer. And I'm going to ask if you would. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us?